The rate cut is working.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. This week's cut in interest rates was aimed at preventing recession in the months ahead. But more immediately, the Fed wanted to heal the credit crunch. Now the Wall Street Journal reports the medicine may already be working. Companies like Lehman Brothers and General Electric found good demand for their corporate bonds yesterday. And R.H. Donnelley pulled off the biggest sale of junk bonds since summer. But not so fast. The New York Times reports the private equity deal for Sallie Mae may be in jeopardy. The stock market continued the adrenaline rush provided by the Fed's cut in interest rates. The Dow picked up 76 to 13,815. Meantime, the S&P was up more than 9 points to 1,529, and the NASDAQ added nearly 15 to 2,666. Stocks across Asia moved higher overnight. The market in Hong Kong hit a record high, but the major markets in Europe are a tad lower at this hour. You know, the world stock markets have been rapidly consolidating. Now, NASDAQ and the Dubai stock market have a deal spanning the U.S., Europe, and the Middle East. At the center is NASDAQ's takeover of the Nordic exchange OMX. Stephen Beard reports from London.
The deal prevents a takeover battle from getting out of hand. NASDAQ wasn't the only one that wanted OMX. The Dubai Stock Exchange was bidding too. Now the two rivals have joined forces. NASDAQ will get OMX. Dubai will get a 20% stake in NASDAQ. It's a good deal for the American company, says David Buick of BGC Partners.
The NASDAQ not only gets control of OMX in Scandinavia and Eastern Europe, which it really wants, but it also gets a foot in the Dubai market, which is growing. The Middle East market is not to be underestimated. It's growing every single day.
Buick says the government-owned Dubai exchange will not only score a slice of NASDAQ. Under the deal, it will also be buying the bulk of NASDAQ's 31% stake in the London Stock Exchange. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were created to keep money flowing through the mortgage market. But in the current crisis, they've been limited in their ability to help. Yesterday, though, regulators changed that by allowing Fannie and Freddie to increase their holdings of subprime loans. And there may be other changes coming. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson is considering a temporary increase in the size of mortgages Fannie and Freddie can package into securities. Later this morning, Mr. Paulson and Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke speak to Congress on America's housing market and what can be done to fix it. Marketplace's Steve N. has a preview.
Last month, President Bush called on the Federal Housing Administration to help almost a quarter of a million families avoid foreclosure by easing refinancing for troubled borrowers. Earlier this week, the House passed its own plan to expand FHA assistance. But housing advocate Bruce Marks is unimpressed. Marks runs the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America.
The administration's and the congressional proposals are insufficient and will have virtually no impact.
Alex Pollock, who follows home lending at the American Enterprise Institute, agrees the president's proposal will probably need to be expanded to reach more people if it's going to work. But
essential to this program, in my view, is that you have to find a way for the lenders to realize their losses.
Translation, this won't fly with conservatives if it becomes a giant bank bailout. Pollock believes banks that made risky loans need to write down their losses and work with borrowers to keep them in their homes. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry, delivering 10 billion riders annually and working for an energy-independent America. PublicTransportation.org. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Robots have come a long way since we first put them to work on assembly lines. Healthcare is one of the biggest job markets for them. Robotic nurses may seem like something out of the Jetsons, with flat-screen monitors for heads, but robots are saving hospitals money and speeding patient recovery. Shia Levitt reports from Baltimore.
The gray robot is about as tall as a person, but it looks more like a cross between a vacuum cleaner and a TV. It unplugs itself from a charging station and makes its way toward a patient's room as soon as someone commands it remotely. Dr. Alex Ganzis is at the joystick. A giant picture of his face fills the screen as the robot buzzes down the hallway of Sinai Hospital's bariatric surgery department. And when it drops in on a patient, it's Ganzis' voice you hear.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
How are you doing?
A little better.
Okay, so the pain got better?
Through the robot, Ganzis asks James Diet to do his lung exercises.
You know, it's better for you if you sit up. Excellent. Ready? A little higher, yeah. Very good. Very, very good. How's your pain level from 1 to 10?
He zooms in a tiny camera to see Diet blow into a plastic device that measures the strength of his breath. On the way out, he gives Diet more instructions.
Okay. Make sure you walk, all right?
Okay.
That will make you feel much better.
Doctors can remotely monitor patients many times a day this way, so they can recover and go home faster. This frees up beds for new patients. All that amounts to about $350,000 in saved costs and extra revenue in just 6 months. Diet says talking to his doctor through a robot was weird at first.
It's almost like a real person was standing inside of it. After a while, you forgot that it was a machine and you was actually looking at him and looking in his eyes. You really thought that he was here.
It was a new experience for Ganzis, too.
You can actually project yourself next to the patient regardless where you are geographically.
More than 100 robots are now at work in hospitals across the country. Ganzis' main gripe is his robot doesn't have arms, so it needs human help for hands-on examinations or to call the elevator. In Baltimore, I'm Shia Levitt from Marketplace.
Got comments for us? You can email to letters@marketplace.org. And while you're there, grab the Morning Report podcast. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.